Good morning, and welcome to Community Conversations. Community Conversations will be a series of pre-recorded interviews lasting about 20 to 30 minutes each, hosted here on KRFY 88.5 FM on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. This interim show is not a replacement for the morning shows. On this show, we will bring you topics of current interest, as well as ongoing general information highlighting voices from our community. We are using new technology for all the participants in these conversations to be recorded remotely. So please bear with us any gaps or hiccups that slow internet connections may cause from time to time. Bear in mind, information may change between the time we've recorded this and the time that you hear it as broadcasted. Today, Julie and I have the great pleasure of speaking with a longtime guest on our show, Kira Sattari from Idaho Fish and Game, and we're going to talk about all the things going on right now. Welcome to the show, Kira.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Kira, Julie Calamine here, and so glad to have you, even via remote connection, although we would normally be seeing your smiling face in person. First of all, you are the Regional Communications Manager for our area and the panhandle for Idaho Fish and Game, and tell us, how are you doing at work and at home?
Well, Julie, they are one and the same for me. I am working from home. We have no daycare, and I'm in a 700 square foot apartment with our infant son and my husband and our dogs, so it's cozy. And, you know, Phil had the caveat that things might have some hiccups with this show. You might hear a baby crying in the background, and I apologize now.
It's really amazing. Really amazing, all of the things that are going on now remotely, but it's hard to imagine working on things that impact the great outdoors like Idaho Fish and Game from inside a remote location.
Yes. Well, you may hear unusual sounds from any of us, so we'll all bear with that. I've got a little dog that might bark. Kira, just tell us a bit more about how your work is different now than it was a few weeks ago.
Right. So most of the Fish and Game staff are now working remotely. We only have about 2 to 3 people working in the office. Another big change is that our field logistics have shifted quite a bit. We're trying to space even field crews out, so we can't be sharing vehicles. We're trying to keep as few people in grouped up as possible. So we're trying to keep our staff and our public safer. And it just takes a lot more planning and a lot more focus on essential services now. You know, we all are a little bit stuck at home and maybe not as productive. So we're really trying to focus on the essential services for our public and get those done first.
I would guess with your position as Regional Communications Manager, you're busier.
That's correct. Yes, I have a little less time to do it and actually more information to get out. I mean, during this time, so much is changing so fast. So a lot of both internal communication, you know, what's coming out of Boise and the governor's office, and then getting that out to the public as things change.
So tell us, for folks who are listening and want to stay abreast of your communications, what's the best way for them to engage with you?
So we have a central repository for all the Fish and Game changes on our website at idfg.idaho.gov. We stay on top of that, updating all the time. I will say that our regional office is still open. Even though most of the staff aren't in the office, we are receiving voicemails. So if you still have a question about fishing or hunting, you can call the office and you'll get connected to a staff member's voicemail, but they're going to still get your message and they'll call you back.
All right. Well, this leads us into all the questions that we have about what has changed for Idaho Fish and Game since the COVID-19 became serious in the state and the governor's shelter-in-place, social distancing orders and recommendations. We could start with seasons. What's happening with the fishing hunting season?
That's the easiest one for me, Julie. Fishing, hunting, and trapping seasons have not changed. No changes to seasons.
Okay, good. Well, how about licensing? I believe I read a little something about non-resident licenses.
Right. So on April 4th, the Fish and Game Commission got together and made a temporary rule that non-resident licensing tags and permits would be suspended. Now, there are some caveats with this, so I recommend people head to our website and read through what is and isn't available. But a quick summary is that no non-resident fishing licenses will be sold. Non-resident tags are not available. So if you were hoping to come over for turkey or bear hunting, those seasons are open to residents, but the non-resident tags aren't available. If a non-resident had bought a tag or license before the April 4th suspension, those are valid. You can come over and just practice responsible social distancing when you're out hunting or fishing. But again, check the website and make sure you walk through all those rules. Resident licenses and tags were not affected by that temporary rule change.
Okay. You've told us a bit about the Idaho Fish and Game offices, and it sounds like the hours are somewhat abbreviated. Is that true or same hours?
Actually, the hours are the same. So Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m., there is someone there answering the phones for you. And then there are two instances where folks can make an appointment to come into the office. So that is to purchase any of anything that can't be purchased online. So a bear bait permit or an outfitter tag, something like that, is not something you can get online or by phone. The second reason folks would need to come into the office is to check a mountain lion or a wolf or a black bear. So there's really only two reasons why folks should be coming into the office. Everything else is available online. Our controlled hunt applications you can apply for online. You can buy licenses and tags online. So there are resources and there's tutorials on the website if you need help walking through that.
Carrie, you mentioned the impact also extends to field personnel. And when I think of the field personnel, there's folks who are going out doing surveys and conservation work like that. And there's also your conservation officers who are doing education as well as enforcement. How does it impact each of those sets?
Sure. So the officers are still out in the field and the field staff are still trying to collect data. I mean, the fish and wildlife don't stop moving around. We still have some programs that need data coming in so we don't lose these long-term data sets. You mentioned conservation officers that have an education component. Unfortunately, they have a little more time on their hands since we aren't doing education programs right now. So our local bull trout educator, Dustin Mason, has been working to reach out to schools remotely, providing activities like a coloring contest, just to help keep kids busy and still thinking about fish and providing some fun activities. So those are available through our website as well. But unfortunately, okay, no in-person activities and no hatchery tours either is the other one I should mention.
And basically no classes, right? There are no prepping or hunter safety, nothing like that.
Right. So all our in-person classes and field days have been canceled. Trapper Ed, Hunter Ed. The option, you can still get certified in Hunter Ed. You can do it all online. And for now, the field day is waived, so you can get your entire certification done online right now.
Well, Fish and Game has managed to accomplish a lot by doing so many things online and having you all work remotely. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the fish stocking program. That's something that I'm always curious about.
Yeah. So fish stocking is proceeding as usual. We have a lot of 8 to 10 inch rainbow trout ready to get put out into the region. A lot of our family fishing waters will get those fish. And the hatchery is still cranking out fish. I will say we won't be publishing when fish will be stocked this year, mostly because our schedule is so wonky right now with staff shifting and trying to focus resources where they need to go. So we don't want to have specific dates out for when those fish will be headed towards ponds, but they will be stocked, and that's good news for folks that are trying to get out on the water.
Now, I just read yesterday there's a new netting program for the walleye. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's actually in its third year of walleye netting. And this is a walleye suppression program that happens in late April. So this year, let me check my dates here. It's April 13th to May 1st. Gill nets will be put out mostly in the northern part of the lake for walleye as they're starting to get ready to spawn here. And the goal of the program is just to determine if between angler harvest and netting, we can keep walleye populations at a low level that they aren't impacting other species like kokanee.
Yeah, I've learned a little about that previous years, but we have another invader, and that's the northern pike, and they're not being netted, but I think you all know why that is. They're not quite as a fish of quite as much concern at this time. Is that the case?
Right. From what we have seen, the pike are mostly staying in closer to shore in those shallower zones, and our angler harvest has been sufficient enough to keep those populations low. So we don't have any bag limits or size limits on pike, and we prefer to use anglers as our number one management tool. Unfortunately, with walleye, since they can live in a little more broad habitats, we know they're getting into the deeper water where kokanee like to hang out. That's a red flag for our biologists, and they want to stay on top of that threat because we don't want walleye to do damage to the kokanee population like we saw with lake trout.
And back to the northern pike for a moment, as the water's warm and as Lake Pendere comes up, it's about to be time to be targeting them, isn't it, for the anglers?
Absolutely. Looking for those warm, weedy shorelines is where those pike like to hang out.
That'll be fun. Well, Kira, I'm wondering if you could, again, just mention contact info for listeners if they want to reach you or have questions about fishing or hunting. Let's do a midpoint info.
Yeah. Folks can always go online and check our website at idfg.idaho.gov. I mentioned that our regional office is still open, regular business hours. You can reach folks by phone at 208-769-1414. We aren't having the public come into the office except by appointment, so you have to call to make an appointment if you need anything from the regional office. But staff are still getting their voicemails, so if you have a question for anyone, call that main office line and they will connect you.
So, Kira, can you tell us a little bit about how this is impacting opening and closing of facilities that are managed by Idaho Fish and Game?
Yes, that's a good question. So right now, all our wildlife management areas and fish access sites are open to the public. The tough part right now is that a lot of other access sites are getting closed down. So we want to make sure people are aware that they should check ownership and figure out if sites like Forest Service Zone boat launches are open. Fish and Game is trying to stay in our lane and not share out all the other partners, what's closed, what's open. Our main message is that people should check before they go to figure out what's open. And the best way to do that with Fish and Game sites, I would recommend using our hunt planner or our fishing planner. You can pull up a map of all the Fish and Game owned sites. And for now, at the time of a recording, all those are open and available to the public.
This is a good time to remind folks, too, that are listening to it. We're recording this a few days before broadcast. Things are in a state of change. It's always best to check before you go. Go to official websites. Don't necessarily believe all the chatter on Facebook. but go to the sites for the land management agency, whether it's Idaho Department of Fish and Game, the Idaho Panhandle National Forest, or the Idaho State Parks. They all are updating official information regularly.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you're just not sure who owns what. Any advice on how to work through that?
Yeah, so our map center, our GIS application on the website actually will give you federal ownership. So that is going to get you pretty far on in the Panhandle region. You know, it's mostly Forest Service. We do have some Army Corps of Engineers sites and then Fish and Game sites. So that will get you pretty far on who owns what, especially with boat launches and some of the larger parcels. So that's where I would recommend folks start. They can go onto our website, scan over to hunting tab, and the hunt planner is what you're looking for. And that has a ton of information on ownership and maps. And there's even trails listed in there. So you can get a picture of maybe some new trails near your home if your local one is getting a little crowded.
I can't wait to try that. I've tried the fish planner and I loved it. So this will give me a new thing to think about in this rather boring time. Thank you.
Are there
All right, one last question. As we're talking about areas to hunt and finding out hunt and fish, et cetera, and where we might be allowed and where we're not, what about travel in general? Has Idaho Fish and Game made recommendations about traveling from place to place?
So Fish and Game is aligned with the governor's recommendations on recreation and travel. So Governor Little's recommendations as of today, April 10th, are to stick to day trips for the most part. Stay close to home, don't travel too far. If you're going to travel, don't hit up the local small town grocery and clean them out. Bring your own supplies as you're headed out. And if you see a trailhead or a boat launch that looks congested, either shift the time that you're going to a non-peak hour or find a new spot.
Those are great suggestions, Kira. And I'd remind listeners, because we are in the very narrow panhandle, that the states of Washington and Montana also have travel restrictions guidance in place. And it's best to check currently with each state's information before you go. Those are, again, being constantly revised on a daily basis. And I noted just earlier this week there were revisions to both of those states' guidance. And the same with the applicable land management properties.
Makes sense.
What are some of the upcoming things this summer that you're looking further down the road on that you can whet our appetite with?
That's a good question. You know, I've been so focused on the immediate needs right now. So I mentioned our education classes are canceled. In June, I'm really hoping we can kick back into our Project Wild classes, because we have a Wild About Fishing class, and these are workshops for educators where we get the fishing gear out and teach teachers about our local fish species and how to get kids out on the water. So I was really looking forward to that in mid-June. We'll see if that happens.
Yes, fingers crossed that can happen. As we conclude the interview or get close to that, are you having any reports from local hunters, fishermen? What are you hearing? Any good stories? Any interesting stories?
I haven't gotten any interesting nuggets recently. I do want to note for all your listeners out there that turkey and bear hunting seasons are starting up April 15th in the Panhandle. So folks should be aware, if they're recreating in new places, especially WMAs, that it might be getting a little more crowded out there with a new surge of hunting seasons coming online.
And I noticed today, driving across the Long Bridge, the first osprey I've seen returned.
Heck yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, so they're coming back. Well, that's Kira, are running a little short on time. Are there any final thoughts you have for our listeners?
Nope, that does it for me. Just check before you go. All these agency websites are really trying to stay on top of it and get information out to the public of what's open and what's not.
And we'll all have to get to the Idaho Fish and Game website. It sounds like it's got a bunch of really good information for us.
Well, thank you.
IDFG.idaho.gov. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kira. That wraps up our community conversation for this day with Kira Sitari from Idaho Department of Fish and Game. We want to thank you for joining us. Join us for more recorded interviews as part of our community conversation programs at 8 a.m. on Tuesdays and again on Thursday mornings, right here at KRFY 88.5 FM and streaming at krfy.org. That's all for now for Julie Calamine, myself, Phil Huff, and we'll be back again next week with more. Thank you.